Well, if you have your Bible, please turn to this passage in John chapter 4. The more I go on in the Christian life, the more it just strikes me that there is something very, very wonderful and extraordinary about Jesus. You might expect a Christian minister to say that, but I don't mean that, as it were, wearing a minister's hat. I just mean that as a believer, as a Christian. The more I read and think about Jesus, the more extraordinary and wonderful he is. And that sentiment is picked up in our hymns that we often sing, whether it's an old hymn just picked out almost randomly. Some of you will know the hymn, "There's Not a Friend Like the Lowly Jesus." Think about that. There's no one quite like him. Or, "My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you." Or, "You're the Lion of Judah." You could pick a whole host, and it's really what we're saying is that Jesus is so extraordinary. And that's why I am always saying, along with I'm sure many another minister and pastor, that we're not to focus on religion. It's not religion, but it's Jesus Christ, his person, his work, what he has done, what he has yet to do, that should really excite us. And that is why our witness and our evangelism, when you take away all the other layers and sometimes the baggage that can accumulate, is that we are simply calling upon people to take Jesus Christ seriously. I did quote this morning, I don't know whether I attributed Harvey Kahn, a Christian leader from the States, who died a few years ago, but some of you may remember he spoke at a conference organized by the Presbyterian Church in Ireland a number of years ago, and he said in one of his helpful books, he said, "At the center of evangelism is a single word, Jesus, Jesus." So tonight, as we continue to think a little bit about evangelism, I want us to come back to this story that we have quite often looked at, I think, John chapter 4, this remarkable encounter between Jesus and this Samaritan woman. And in many ways, if you wanted a text on which to build what I want to say tonight, I would point you to verse 7. Where it says, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink?'" And what I want to say this evening, there's essentially three things that I want to say. I'll tell you now what they are, and then I'll go back over them. I want to say, first of all, that witness and evangelism is not meant to be a complicated thing. And secondly, I want to say that witness and evangelism is full of problems, if you allow it to be full of problems. And thirdly, witness and evangelism is about developing the art of friendship. Now, it's about a lot of things. A lot of different things, but that's what I want to focus on this evening. So, first of all, as we look at this story and we think of Jesus asking this very simple question, the first thing is this: witness and evangelism is not meant to be a complicated thing. Sometimes we make it complicated. Indeed, sometimes it seems to me that within the Church of Jesus Christ, we have made it into something that many Christians run in fear and flight. less to be asked to do something to do with evangelism. Many people have been made to feel very, very guilty because the message about evangelism has been presented, in my own personal view, in an unhelpful way. The sort of thing, well, unless you speak to three or four people before you go to your bed tonight about Christ, there's something wrong with you. I think that just drives people to despair. And that's not what we're on about tonight. Witness and evangelism is not meant to be a complicated thing. I'm not saying it's easy. It can actually be quite difficult. But I am saying it's not complicated. It's not rocket science. Let me just put a couple of things to you. How complicated do you think it is to look at somebody straight in the eye, a stranger, and give them a smile? It's not complicated. Or how complicated is it to meet somebody down the street whom you may not know and say hello to them? It's not complicated. Jesus said to this Samaritan woman, "Will you give me a drink?" Now, there's nothing whatsoever complicated about that. He engaged with her. We'll see in a moment or two he didn't have to. He could have avoided her, but he didn't. He looked her straight in the eye and said, "Will you give me a drink?" And folks, tonight you can make evangelism as complicated as you want, but it doesn't have to be that way. It's challenging enough without making it more challenging. That's really the first thing that I want to say. I do believe that all the time there are witness evangelistic opportunities missed because we do not do even some of the things that I've mentioned already. I can think of a situation in another part of the area of the province where a person from another part of the world said, "You know, I lived in this area for quite a long time before somebody looked me straight in the eye and said hello." Now, there's something seriously wrong there. It was an area where there were meant to be quite a few Christians. I'm not sure where they all were. Witness and evangelism is not meant to be a complicated thing. But let me move further. Witness and evangelism is full of problems if you allow it to be. If we seek to reach out to people, there will always be potential problems. It was the same in this story. I can think of at least four potential problems in this story that would have made contact with this woman and Jesus very unlikely. I don't have to spend a long time on this, but let me rehearse them with you. There was the problem of race. Jesus was a Jew, and this lady was a Samaritan. The Samaritans had intermarried with people from other nations, and as a result, according to the Jews, they were a mixed race, and they were kind of a half-breed type of a race. And from a strict Jewish point of view, you really shouldn't have anything to do with them. So there was a kind of a racial problem. Jesus shouldn't really, from that point of view, have been asking this woman for a drink of water. And then there was the whole problem, well rehearsed, of religion. Jesus was a Jew. This lady was a Samaritan. The Samaritans, obviously, according to the Jews, they didn't even have the right Bible. They didn't have the whole Old Testament. They only had the books of Moses. So their Bible wasn't even right. They didn't go to the right place to worship. They didn't go to Jerusalem. They went to Mount Gerizim. That's no place to go to worship. They had a different understanding of God, and their whole theology was a bit different. So there was a whole lot of problems there. Jesus really shouldn't have been asking this woman for a drink. And then there was the whole problem of the fact that she was, well, she. According to the Jewish orthodoxy, and I'm sure we've quoted this before, a man should not talk with a woman in the street, not even with his own wife, and especially not with another woman, on account of what men may say. So this was all wrong. Jesus, you're getting this all wrong. Why are you talking to this woman? She's the wrong race, she's the wrong religion, and she's a woman. And then there was the other very obvious problem. We're told in the story it was the sixth hour. It was noontime. It was a very hot time of the day. It was an unusual time for this woman to be coming to get water. Why was that? It was because of who she was. The story goes on to tell us that she had been around a few different men. The man that she was with currently was not her husband. At best, many people would have looked on her as a prostitute. She was certainly a sinner. She was certainly a social outcast. That's why she was there on her own. So again, Jesus, why are you talking to this woman? Why are you asking her for a drink of water? So folks, let me cut through all of that. I don't have to emphasize that any further. Jesus meets this woman, as somebody has said, this mixed race, heretical, wrong gender sinner. And he says to her, "Can I have a drink? Would you give me a drink?" Now, folks, there's something profound there. There's something really challenging there. For you and I, sometimes we can come up with all sorts of reasons. You know, I can't really go and do that. I can't go and speak to somebody about the Lord Jesus, or I can't talk to my neighbor, or I can't talk to that person because of, and we can list off various things. And they might be genuine problems. But what I'm suggesting to you is that sometimes we can be very quick to come up with the problems when in reality they're maybe not as problematic as we think. There were all sorts of reasons why Jesus should not have been engaging with this woman. And yet he did. "Will you give me a drink?" And folks, there might be somebody in your circle of friends or family or neighborhood or wherever. And if truth be told, you feel this niggling in your heart that you maybe should invite them to the mission, or you maybe should say something. And yet there's another wee thought comes in. Well, be very careful now. There's a situation there, or they're from a different background, or there's a problem there. And you and I have to decide, are we going to allow the problems to crowd in and stop us from giving the invitation, or will we be like Jesus and cut through all of those things? And maybe ask a question or say whatever it is we're going to say that begins to disarm the person. I often think, and I believe it's a very basic thing of life, that when you go to somebody and basically ask them, "Look, can you help me? Or can you provide something for me? Or can you help me with this particular problem?" It's a slightly disarming thing. It really is. You make yourself slightly vulnerable at that point. And sometimes in evangelism witness, I'm sure that we need to do that. We need to make ourselves a wee bit more vulnerable and go to the person and say, "Look, could you help me?" or whatever it is. Praying all the time that the conversation will be led in a godly direction. So witness and evangelism, it's not meant to be complicated. Let's not make it complicated. A friendly smile, a hello to a person that everybody else is kind of ignoring. There's nothing very complicated about that. Yes, it's full of problems if we allow them to come, but we don't have to. And the other thing that I want to just mention to you tonight is this, that witness and evangelism is about developing the art of friendship. Now, I'm focusing in a particular part of this story. I'm obviously not dealing with the whole story, but I'm focusing in on a particular part of it. There is no doubt about the fact that in this story, at a very, very basic level, that Jesus seeks to strike up a friendship, if you want to call it that, with this Samaritan woman. He says to her, look, can you give me a drink? He doesn't ignore her. He doesn't say, oh, she's a terrible person. I've heard about her. So let me just make a couple of points here. And hopefully these are practical. That we need to contact others socially. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me quote to you something. Michael Green wrote a very helpful book called Evangelism Through the Church. And he's speaking about some things that sometimes can hinder evangelism. And let me quote you something here and you can see what you think about it. He says this, one of the reasons that hinder us in our evangelism, he says this, it is simply that Christians do not have any close friends that are not Christians. They live in a Christian ghetto. And the church is often to blame for this state of affairs. He goes on to say that pastors sometimes ask people to go to too many other meetings, and the result is that they don't have time to pursue friendships outside church circles. Don't know what you think about that. Michael Green says this is a dangerous tendency in a church which in the West is generally declining. And he says that as believers, we need to try and make contact with people who are not believers. Like, let me ask you this question. How many close friendships do you have with folks who are not committed Christians? If you're a Christian here this evening, how many close friendships do you have with people who are not yet committed to the Lord Jesus? Do you see it as an important thing to have friendships with people who are not committed to the Lord Jesus? Or do you feel, well, really, I shouldn't have those kinds of friendships? If you do feel that, I would care to disagree with you. Because at the end of the day, how do we seek to influence people if we don't have anybody to influence? It's something that we do need to think about. And that's why I do encourage, and I'm sure many others can see this point, that we do encourage people, and we need to think and pray about these things, to get involved in clubs and societies that may have many people in them who are not yet believers. It's okay to do that. It is really okay to do that. And to pray that God would use that. To pray that you would build relationships and build friendships that can be used for the gospel. So contact other people socially. See this as a Christian thing to do. One of the obvious lessons from John chapter 4 is that Jesus goes out of his way, I believe, to make this contact with someone who did not know him. Jesus deliberately went this way to make this contact with this woman who did not know him. And this is the Christ-like thing to do. Now, let's be clear. We are in the world. We're not of the world, but we're still in the world, folks. Isolation, I do not believe, is the Christian option. And certainly within a Reformed and Evangelical church like the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, we've never believed that isolation is the option. We believe that we need to be salt and light in the world. And the whole idea about salt being rubbed into society, the whole idea of light shining where? In the darkness. So we don't run into our little corner. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. If you want, if you've got your Bible, just glance over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 for a moment. I think this is an interesting little text. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The context is that Paul is speaking about expelling the immoral brother. But he says something interesting here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. Listen to this. I've written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. Now, that's pretty clear. Paul is saying, look, if there are people and they claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus and they're living in a way that really is very clearly not of the Lord and a scandal to the gospel, really you need to step back from those people and those people need to be challenged. But he also says, look, I'm not saying to you that you withdraw from the people of this world. Otherwise, as it says there in black and white in verse 10, in this case you would have to leave this world. Paul understands that we will mix with people who are not yet believers. That's how we try to influence them. That's how we try to witness to them. We're not stuck in a corner somewhere on our own. We're out there in the world. Yes, living a godly life, we trust. Not doing anything, of course, that's going to bring the gospel into disrepute ourselves, but we are in the world and yet not of the world. So, folks, my point is this. This is it's a Christian thing. It is a Christian principle. And the third thing that I just want to mention to you is this, that we should develop the art of friendship with all. Again, I hope this is reasonably practical and it's at a practical level. Could it be that Christians have lost the art of friendship? Or maybe we're good at being friends, but just with all the people that we know. Or maybe we just don't have time. Everybody is so busy. And sometimes we can be so busy. Sometimes, and I have sensed this over many years, that sometimes, and there's a balance here, of course, and within the church, we are constantly calling people to be at the midweek and all of that. Now, you can't be at every meeting. But I have known situations in the Christian life where Christians have been so busy running almost every night of the week to meetings. And maybe no time for their family. And certainly no time to build a relationship with somebody else who isn't a Christian and to try and influence them for the Lord. There's something, in my view, not quite right there or balanced. You see, evangelism can indeed be both an act. I went out and I did some evangelism. I spoke to someone about the Lord Jesus. I told them about Christ who died and rose again and how they need to repent and believe. Evangelism, at that sense, can be an act, an activity that we do. But evangelism, folks, can also be a process. Evangelism is also about sowing as well as reaping, we trust. And part of this whole idea of befriending people, building a relationship with people, it's part of a process. It's not going to happen overnight. Let me read you something here by a chap called Lawrence Singlehurst. I think this is very interesting. He says, many churches are largely ignoring the most effective source of evangelism, which is, of course, plain, dynamic, everyday friendship. It is time for us as the church to break out of our ghettos and embrace the most dynamic form of evangelism, friendship, and to realize that the whole message of the gospel comes down to relationships with God, with one another, and yes, relationships with the lost. Now, folks, that you might be saying, well, you don't need to spend so long talking about this, like we kind of know that, but do we really know that? Do we know that? I think we've lost a little bit of this. I might be wrong, but I think we need to be reminded of this, folks. Brother and sister in Christ, can I appeal to you? And I'm not suggesting that you are ignoring this, but I do think that we need to realize again the importance of this and the biblical basis of this. And in many ways, we see it here with Jesus coming to this woman and saying, will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink? How many people, I often think about this, how many people are there in this town and they have actually no contact whatsoever with a true evangelical committed Christian? None. There's no friendship there. I often think of people who are our neighbours. I often actually think, folks, of people who live next door to us. And says you, well, you're their neighbour. You need to be being friendly with them. Well, I hope I am. But we're also their neighbours. What are we doing to befriend people who are literally beside us? It's a challenge. I want us to think about that and pray about that. One Christian writer said this. He's talking about hospitality. He said this. This is a very stark comment, but a very ordinary comment. He says, I know of no more effective environment for initiating evangelism than a dinner at home or in a quiet restaurant. You ever thought about that? I'll tell you a wee story about that just a minute or two before I finish. So tell me tonight, what contacts do you have with people who are not yet believing in the Lord Jesus? You know, there's lots and lots of things that we can try to do. You can genuinely get alongside your neighbour, maybe at a time of trouble, and show them that you care. Babysitting for a young family who are struggling in different ways. Running an errand, doing a practical job. Getting involved in some local society or community association. Going down to the leisure centre or to the Life Builders and trying to develop a friendship with somebody over a period of time. Yesterday afternoon, I ended up going down to the pool for an hour and was sitting in the sauna. I don't spend all my time sitting in the sauna, by the way. And within a few minutes, got chatting to someone and ended up talking about the mission. And I couldn't help but think to myself, you know, here we are sitting in the sauna talking about the mission and talking about the Bible. Now, you might say, oh, well, that would happen to you. You're a minister. They'll talk to you about those things. I don't know. It just sort of happened. Well, it didn't really happen. I'm sure we're praying about these things. That may seem a trivial example, but folks, where there's a will, I believe under God there's a way. And if there's a will and a desire in your and my heart to look out for people, to look out even for the stranger, to look out for the alien, to look out for the newcomer, to look out for the person who maybe everybody else doesn't bother much with, as was the case in John chapter 4. Who knows what can happen. Let me tell you this little story before I finish. Lovely little story I read about recently of a Christian man who, in a very middle-class part of England, some of his friends decided to just invite people round for some lunch, for some dinner, and they wanted it to be an opportunity to talk a little bit about the gospel. Now, they had They had an understanding that they weren't wanting to Bible bash people as they were enjoying their meal, but they certainly were wanting to take some opportunities. And this Christian tells a story how recently, lovely little story, of how he was at this dinner, and he happened to be sitting beside someone who was a very, very wealthy person. And during the course of the dinner, this person said to him, "Well, what do you do?" And this man said, "I'm a missionary," and then deliberately turned to the other person and they continued to talk. And then a minute or two later, the other man came back to him and said, "You're a missionary. Where are you? Where are you a missionary? In Africa?" The man said, "No, a missionary in England." And then he continued to talk to somebody else. And then the man came back to him and said, "You're a missionary in England. But are we not all Christians here in England?" To which the man said, "Well, actually, fewer than 12% of English people ever go to church. So I'm sure you would agree that they need to be told the Christian message." To which the man said, "Well, now that you put it that way, I would actually agree." And they got into this wonderful conversation. Now, I'm not able to tell you at this point that the man was converted at the dinner table or anything like that. But it was a God-inspired conversation that started because a few people got together prayerfully around a dinner table for a meal. Now, I'm not suggesting that's going to happen every time, but I'm using it as an example. Evangelism and witness does not have to be necessarily a complicated thing. And if there's a desire in your heart and in my heart and a love for people and a real desire to try and point people to the Lord Jesus, that's more than half the battle. And as we create some of these little opportunities, whether it's sitting with somebody over a cup of coffee or over a bite of food or down at the swimming pool or up at the Life Builders or down the street or at the market or down at the harbour or in the shop, we can have moments where God will be in them. And what are we wanting to point people to? Jesus. Jesus. This extraordinary person. I'm utterly convinced, and I finish with this, that the majority of people who are sitting in clubs and pubs and sailing up and down the street in whatever town tonight who say, "Oh, that God stuff, I'm not interested whatsoever," they haven't a clue about Jesus. They haven't a clue how wonderful he is. They haven't a clue how radical he is, how extraordinarily amazing he is. And they dismiss something that they don't even know. Now we need to get the word out that Jesus is utterly wonderful, beautiful, amazing, extraordinary. And may God help us to do that. A brief prayer and then we'll sing. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this amazing story of Jesus asking the woman, "Will you give me a drink?" and for how it led to her conversion and her salvation. And Lord, we pray that you would inspire us over these coming weeks, just in very ordinary ways. Give us a heart to see people as you see them. Give us a heart, O God, to see people as Jesus sees them, with compassion, with love, with concern, and not just to be like unbelievers who walk past them and ignore them and maybe ridicule them. Lord, give us real love in our hearts for each and every person. And then when the opportunity comes, help us to point them to Jesus. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.